Welcome back to Insight on Cap Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. He has long been the host of the show Hidden Brain, and Shankar Vedantham has a new series that launches today. It's called Healing 2.0. And over the course of 5 episodes throughout the month of November, Shankar explores how we can change our lives by taking a closer look at a wide range of hardships. I spoke with Shankar about what inspired this series just before the holidays, which was intentional, and what he hopes listeners take away. Well, Shankar, thank you so much for joining us. It really is a treat.
I'm so happy to be here, Vicky. Thank you for having me.
So what inspired the name Healing 2.0? Is there a 1.0?
So we run a number of series throughout the year, Vicky, called the 2.0 series, some of them are recurring features and some of them are new features. And the idea really of all of the 2.0 series is that we're trying to pull together the latest ideas, the most novel and interesting ideas, put them together in a collection. And the idea is we're presenting it to people as a way of saying, here's a way that we can help you become the 2.0 version of yourself.
So you have 5 episodes coming out each week this month. The first is this week. What conversations did you have to narrow down on these topics?
Well, I think the context here, Vicky, is that when we think about the world, it feels like there's so much pain and suffering out there. You know, my heart feels heavy when I finish listening to the news every day. The time of year is also a difficult time for some people. The holidays are a time of celebration and gathering, of course, but for some people, it's also a time when they're reminded of people who are no longer sitting at the table with them. So it can be a difficult time for people. So as we were thinking about all of these different ideas, we knew that the series was going to run in November, between November and early December. And we decided that we wanted to try and pull together a set of different ideas. So I'm not sure there was necessarily a vetting process where we said, this is the idea that has to go into the series because it speaks to the season or because it speaks to a particular news event. The idea was really, can we put together a constellation of different ideas that can speak to one another in a way that can help people thrive? And that's our hope, is that that's what we've done.
I think a lot of people can relate to what you said about, you know, after listening to the news of the day or reading the news of the day, it can feel really heavy, you know, and it's hard to learn how to cope with that in a healthy and a constructive way. Given that you've long been focused on the nooks and crannies of human behavior and social science, I mean, I think, you know, society doesn't necessarily equip us with the tools to process, reflect, and communicate in a constructive or healthy way, but it does evolve over time. What stands out to you about the time that we're in and how we talk about mental health and how collectively we talk about coping with anxieties, traumas, and hardships?
Yeah, it's a difficult time for many people. And of course, there's a lot going on in the world. It's difficult to compare one time period with another time period. You know, it's difficult to say we are going through an emotionally more difficult time than people did 5 years ago or 15 years ago. It always seems like the time that we are in, you know, always feels like the most demanding time sometimes, you know, so it's hard to make comparisons between eras. But one of the ideas that we're really interested in exploring is that we actually have more control over how we feel about the things going on around us than we actually think. The first episode in our series, Healing 2.0, is titled Change Your Story, Change Your Life. And the idea here, such an interesting idea, which is that if you think about your life as a book, and the book is divided into different chapters, you know, how you construct the chapters, where you start each chapter and where you end each chapter, plays a profoundly important role in how you see your own life. So most of us, of course, you know, think of ourselves as being, like an audience in a theater. We're watching a play, and we experience our lives the same way. We feel like our lives are happening to us. We're observing our lives. We're watching what happens. But this episode makes the case that not only are we doing that, but we're also in some ways the author of our lives, or at least the author of the story of our lives. And so the way we tell the story matters enormously. When you think about the chapter breaks in your life, think about a chapter that starts on a very positive note and ends on a very negative note. So you start out with a great job and you move to a new city and you're very excited. But at the end of the story, you lose the job, or the company that you're working with, you know, goes under, or for some other reason, the job doesn't turn out to be what you expected. If you tell the story that way, that story is what psychologists would call a contamination sequence, because it started out positive and it's ended negative. But because all our lives have ups and downs, by moving where we start and stop the chapters of our story, we can also start the chapters on a negative note, on a note of setback, and end the story on a note that is of redemption, of something actually coming out, of the phoenix rising from the ashes, if you will. And psychologists call this a redemption sequence. And as we tell the story of our lives, it turns out we are going to be happier and better adjusted and we'll have better mental health if we can tell more redemption sequences than contamination sequences. So that's the kind of idea that we explore in the series. It's one of many ideas. But we hope these ideas collectively can help people thrive.
Yeah, like wrapping it around with solutions. I mean, the stories that we tell ourselves, the narratives that we tell ourselves can be powerful. And although they feelings can. Aren't facts, feelings are powerful as well. And finding mm-hmm. a way to deal with them constructively, you know, helps all of us in the long run. When looking yes. at the episodes that you're going to be unveiling this month, I mean, they're all incredibly interesting. The last one, though, I think is so helpful. It's the power of apologies. It can be difficult to want to apologize. Well, it actually might be easy to want to apologize, but it can be difficult to actually apologize. What did you learn from that episode?
Well, it's such an interesting thing because, of course, as we go through life, it's inevitable that we are going to hurt other people and that other people are going to hurt us. I think it's just a function of being alive that that's going to happen, that we are going to disappoint people, other people are going to disappoint us. And this happens not just at an interpersonal level, it happens at the level of groups. There are groups that are going to harm other groups. There are countries that are going to harm other countries. So it can happen at a small level. It can happen at a big level. So, you know, our capacity to inflict pain on others is just, I think, part of the human condition. And of course, when this happens, the person who has been injured, you know, really feels terrible. It's not just the pain of the injury, it's also the injustice of the injury, the psychological trauma of the injury hangs over the person and hangs over the relationship. And it turns out that apologies are a really powerful way to bridge the chasms that open up as a result of these hurts and traumas. If an apology is expressed well, if it's phrased well, if it is meant sincerely, if it is preceded by a period of listening and contemplation so that you're not just apologizing because it feels like someone told you to apologize, but because you've actually tried to inhabit the life of the person who is experiencing some pain, these apologies have a profound effect in interpersonal settings, and they can also have very profound effects at the level of groups and at the level of nations. I mean, if you think about, you know, the apartheid regime in South Africa and the truth and reconciliation, process that unfolded in the aftermath of apartheid, in some ways it's looking at the same idea, which is, can we have an honest accounting of what went wrong and who did what to whom, and an honest account of an apology offered and remorse expressed? It's very difficult to do this, and I think it's very difficult to do this in interpersonal settings because sometimes our ego gets in the way, our feelings, our emotions get in the way. Sometimes we are so upset ourselves because of the hurt that we are experiencing that we forget to notice somebody else's pain and suffering. And so we say, you know, why should I apologize to you when I'm in pain myself? But of course, in a situation where neither side is able to apologize to the other, you know, recriminations only build up and the relationship goes even further south. So it's a fascinating topic, I think, because I think it has ramifications at so many different levels. And it's one of my favorite episodes in the series.
And there are 5 total. I mean, you and your team started off with an idea, and now the first episode is going to debut this week. Were there surprises along the way while researching and putting these episodes together?
One of the things that surprised me was an episode where we featured the Australian psychologist Lucy Hone, and she talks about her own experience with grief after suffering, really what's an unimaginable loss. She lost her daughter in a car crash, and as she was sort of dealing with the grief and her bereavement over her daughter's death, she started thinking about the research and looking deeply at the research, and she expected to go through what many of us expect to go through in the aftermath of something like this, which is the 5 stages of grief. But as she sort of looked carefully at her own experience and also at the research literature, she found that, in fact, the 5 stages of grief was not a very good way to conceptualize what happens to people in the aftermath of trauma. In fact, it's not very empirically supported in terms of the research that's done, that there are, in fact, these 5 stages that follow one after the other in this very neat fashion for all people. And so I think that was an idea that surprised me, because I feel like I've been hearing about the 5 stages of grief for 35 35 or 40 years. And it was in some ways a revelation that that model of grief might not actually be well supported by the science.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people will appreciate that, right? Because there's not always a handbook on how to grieve, and it's different for everyone. Finally, you know, at the end of this month, when people have listened to all five episodes, Healing 2.0, what do you hope people take away?
You know, I think there are many insights that people can take away from the series, but I think a common theme that comes through many of them is that bad things are going to happen to us, difficult things are going to happen to us. That's inevitable. It's just, just the result of being human and being alive, that things are going to happen to us. But how we think about those things, how we respond to those things, our feelings about those things, in fact, much of that is under our control. Lucy Hone talks about this in her episode, but this is an idea that has echoes in many spiritual traditions that go back centuries or even millennia. I was reading a book the other day about Buddhist philosophy, and there's a story that comes from the Buddha, which is called the story of the two arrows. And the Buddha is supposed to have said that as we go through life, we're often struck by arrows. As we go through the forest, you know, arrows are going to strike us. And those arrows are going to cause us pain and suffering. But the one thing we should not do is we should not compound that pain and suffering by adding a second arrow to the site of the first injury. And that, of course, is what many of us end up doing. When we suffer a setback or a loss or a tragedy, we compound that pain with the thoughts and experiences and the way we process what happened. We have regret and blame and recrimination. We have a lack of self-compassion. And in some ways, we are compounding our pain with a wound that is now self-inflicted. So the second arrow, in some ways, is under our control. I love that idea about the two arrows and how, in some ways, even if we can't stop the first arrow from striking us, we can do something about the second.
The second arrow. Shankar, thank you so much for the time.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure.
Shankar Vedantham is the host of Hidden Brain, discussing his latest series called Healing 2.0, with new episodes every Thursday starting today. And that is it for Insight today. I'm Vicky Gonzalez. Thanks for joining us. Have a great weekend. We will catch you back here on Monday.